Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, welcome in. This is In This League Live, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman's over there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Chris Welsh. Hi.
This is going to be a show. Like, it's going to be a whole thing. Bogman and I are both exhausted for different reasons. I spent the entire Friday.
You had fun watching baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I helped my 70-year-old mother move all day.
I still can't believe your mom's 70.
She's just about there, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know if you ever battle this, where I feel like old people have probably talked about this before. But you don't really realize it till you start to become the older. Is like you get old, your body gets old, but you don't realize you still feel like a kid. Like you still feel that way. I've got a prime example of it. I'll tell it in a minute. But do you get what I'm saying? Like you don't realize what you look like to the rest of the world, be it a horrid monster like we look, or just that we're older. Like I'll like walk around and I still like am like a 17-year-old, but I'm not 17. I'm 30, almost 36 years old.
Anyway. I don't understand anything you're saying. You like at what point do you think you're 17 when you're cruising high school?
No, I'm just saying like my mentality in my brain, like. Especially when you get into your mid-30s, if you have midlife crisis like I do, you get into like, and you have a little bit of money, you start to like do things that you couldn't do when you were younger. You know, like you go to baseball games and hey, look, like memorabilia, you know, all this, these type of things that are going on is what I'm getting at is my mentality is still young. I don't realize how old I am. Where I'm getting at it is I can't comprehend that you have a 70-year-old mother. And because in my brain, I'm like, well, you're like the guy that I knew as a teenager. And how do you have a 70-year-old mom? Oh, it's because we're dying.
Yeah, I mean, she has already eclipsed what I will reach to. So I will not
really
make it to 70.
So?
Yeah. Well, she's older than 41. So she's way beyond what I'll ever get to.
Did
so
all of the moving, because you helped her move. She moved into
a new
place.
But we had movers, and I'm still exhausted.
Why? I don't understand that. Yeah, why? If she would have been like, hey, I need you to come help me move. You didn't get movers? No, I got them. What do you need me for? You have movers.
Well, okay, so it's just me and my mom and my cousin. My cousin's slow, so he can't do all the stuff. So my mom was at the new house getting, like, DirecTV was there. CenturyLink was supposed to show up, and they never did. And she had to be the
middleman. She needed you to be the middleman.
Yeah,
because
I needed to direct traffic with the movers.
I'm guessing she couldn't be the one that was going to deal with people. Like, you know, she reminds me, like, as we're talking about her, it reminds me of the character in Office Space where she's like, I'm good with the goddamn customers. Like, they're not good. Like she's like that, but you realize you need to be a Bob. You need to walk in and be a Bob.
Well, just imagine me at 70, and that's kind of what her attitude is. You know how I already can't deal with anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, that has a line. I'm not doing it. Sorry. Yeah. I refuse to wait. So she was at that house waiting for those people to show up. I was directing traffic at the old house and all that stuff. So, and they couldn't fit everything into the two gigantic trucks because my mom is like a borderline hoarder, you know, like she doesn't throw anything away. And even if she wanted to like have a garage sale at her old house, she had this Nazi HOA who, you know, no yard sales, no, you know, lights on past six, you know, it's just ridiculous rules.
I like
there,
that so. Your mom, I think your mom also has like a, she's got a lot of borderlines too. Like she is one of the best gamblers I know, but it's like borderline, maybe gambling problem, borderline hoarding.
Much.
Yeah.
Right. She's definitely there too much, but it's like she doesn't lose. Like she breaks even all the time. Like she'll be like, I won $5,000 the other day. I'm like, oh, nice. And then she won't call me for a couple weeks.
I'm like,
what have you been doing? You know, I'm giving all my money back. So,
yeah, you
know.
Like, you got to associate every week is about a grand, right? You got to associate. You don't hear from her for three weeks. You feel, all right, you're down $3,000. So you can put a number to it.
She can afford it. So, you know, whatever.
She just sold the house.
And she's so cheap. Like, she's so cheap. She'll never gamble away. She'll never gamble away enough to be like a gambling addict. Like, she'd never gamble away her mortgage or anything because she'd be like, oh, God, now I got it. I didn't win any money and I have to tip the valet $5. This is the worst.
Or like, long term, you'll realize, like, mom, every 2 years you keep downsizing your house. I wonder why that is. Yeah. And you'll realize, like, oh, it's gambling.
Why are we moving you into the middle of Phoenix in a one bedroom S hall? You know? Yeah, like, why am I moving everything this time?
Yeah, like, cousin can't live in the closet and be like, well, that's just what I want to downsize to. So,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I can't come to terms with it. Here's a prime example. So I spent, I am sun exhausted in Arizona. It's beautiful weather right now. There's spring training. I took the day off and I traveled, as you called it, the world tour, because I went to probably literally the two farthest stadiums from each other. I was down at Salt River to see the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. And I stuck to the backfields. And then later I went over to the Rangers and the Kansas City Royals to see some of the younger guys play. But I was there early to see some of the workouts and practices. Got to see Adam Jones, got to see David Peralta, see some of the new pitchers working. Carson Kelly was behind the plate. They were doing a bunch of bunt drills. And I'm seeing the whole, I saw Robbie Ray.
Did you tell David Peralta you wouldn't take him before pick 150?
I was giving him the stink eye a little bit. I was giving a little bit of the stink eye. Oh, the best part of the whole thing, though, is the picture. So go onto my Twitter, @IsItTheWelsh. I have a picture and I go, hi, Bogman. Just two guys being dudes because I grabbed Archie Bradley. I'm going to tell you this. I almost did a video and I was going to ask Archie to do it, but I decided not to. I was going to ask him to do a video to talk to you as a Sooner and because you hate. It was going to be a double video. Yeah, I was going to do that. I was gonna, like a greeting, like one of our podcast friend who likes to send greetings to their other guys. I was going to do one with Archie to you specifically. But so I took a picture with Archie. So, okay, so here's where I'm going with this story. You know, you're going out there, you're checking out, I'm getting some video, I'm doing all the stuff and the things, and I'm on the side where all the, because I got there early, you know, all the guys are working out, as I'm telling you. Adam Jones out there, Jake Lamb, Eduardo Escobar, lots of drills, everything. Yosmani Tomas, horrible first baseman, by the way. He was trying to play for, God. He is atrocious. Like,
why hasn't he just gone away yet?
He's going to. I think he played first today in the spring training game. I watched during the practices. He's just bad. He can't make the catches. He can't make the throws. I just don't know why they're experimenting.
Well, at least he can't hit. So
yeah, they can't do anything except cash checks from the Diamondbacks. That's about all that he can do. So over time, so autograph people start to come up. Now they're doing a pitching drill and Zach Greinke appears. And I'll be honest with you. Zach Greinke looks like the biggest douchebag on the planet. Like, it is unbelievable with the long hair, the glasses, kind of the attitude he walks around with. But he was having some fun. He was doing the bunt drills. He's the best pitching hitter on that team. He's a fantastic bunter. You know, I mean, he's just a great baseball player. He just kind of comes off a little douchey. So
he's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. So he's doing his thing. And then you see him. I see him kind of go to the side of the field. A couple kids kind of approach him, and he just absolutely ignores them and walks to the side. And then he comes back from where Robbie Ray was going.
Must all be Pat Neshek's kids.
Yeah, I guess. So then he comes back in where they're doing the BP, and then he comes out just through everybody. And here's something I can appreciate about him. He's just not going to let people affect him. Like, he's not going to let, if there's, you know, 20 autograph people and he doesn't want to do it, he's not going to let it change his course. So he starts to walk through. And this, you know, what we would affectionately call a loser guy, you know, mid-40s, you know, 260, something like that, you know, shorts, shirt barely goes over the stomach.
Yeah,
right. But you know what I'm saying.
Like me, if I make it to 10 years from now.
He's the first one, and he goes, hey, Zach. He's like, can I get your autograph? And Zach walked by him like, I mean, he essentially took an S on his soul. Like, Greinke didn't acknowledge that this guy exists. He didn't even look at him and give him a dirty look. He just walked. And I was like, ooh, that was cold.
I'm kind of into that. Yeah.
Yeah, I see you're into, I'm not into that. Like, I think lie or just acknowledge, you know, just be like, no. You know, even just saying no, I think is fine. Just having somebody, but just, you are a rotten piece of garbage and I won't acknowledge you exist. So he does that. And then a couple kids walk by and he ignores them too. And I'm just,
well, see, that's not okay.
Yeah. Well, so then he comes back and mind you, like coming back to the whole story of like feeling young. Cause I'm out there and I'm like, oh, like great. This is fun. Like autographs are fun. And then you see that you're like, oh no, it's not. They're not fun. They're not cranky is not, doesn't make any of that fun. So then he comes back out. He comes back out and there's, you know, the monsters, the losers are the sitting, they're lined up. And then there's some kids and he was super weird. So what he does, and I've seen lots of athletes do this and I have no issue with it whatsoever, where they're only going to sign for kids. So some kids come up, he signs three things. Then he stops and he's wearing glasses, by the way. I haven't heard him say a word in any of these interactions with anybody, but he came out to sign a few things for these kids. And he looks up, he puts his chin up, and he looks around. Then he goes back down, and he grabs two kids' things, he signs them, he stops, chin up, looks around, and the losers are putting their stuff closer, and
hold on. Chin up, yeah. Looks around. Is he like a bird in one of those planet Earth things?
I'm telling you, this is what, like, he's not, like, he literally is putting his chin up like he's scanning the area. Like he continuously is doing a scan, and then what he's also doing is he's cherry picking where there because I noticed there's like this 11-year-old kid that was standing there and he was only signing for like these little 6-year-olds, but these guys kept pressing and they kept pressing and they were in there and in there, and I'm looking at him like, why are you guys doing, like, he's not gonna, like, what are you doing? And he did the bird chin up thing a couple times and then he put something down, he chins up. He turns around and walks out.
Click, 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 click. Does he make any like weird animal noises when he chins up?
But here's the other thing. He walked really slow. Like there was no authority. It was the weird. It's not sounding as weird as I'm making it out to be.
No, it sounds weird.
I'm telling you, it is. And think about the amount of backfields and games I've been to from Major League to A's to everything. I mean, in the last 3 years, it is single-handedly the weirdest interaction I have seen a baseball player with fans.
Have you seen anything more cold-blooded than him walking right past the monster asking for the autograph, like right in his face?
I've seen Nick Senzel one time during spring training. There was like
because he's established.
Yeah,
he's too big for autographs.
There was this kid. And there's this kid wearing this like little Cinzy jersey and he stopped and he was all smiling and stuff. And he signed it for the kid and took a picture. It was really cool. And then, he kind of gets up and he walks away. And this just one guy goes, hey, Nick, can I have your autograph? And Nick starts to walk. He looks at him. And he goes, no. And like with a face. And then he just kept walking. And I laughed.
Like he's angry about it. Like, no,
it was angry. He was like, no. And it was so funny while at the same time being like, man, is that cold blooded? Like these guys, it is brutal.
What was your reaction when he goes, no, did you do a spit take?
I wasn't ready to hear that. Like it was one of the funnier things I had heard while at the same time being like, I mean, that's a bit much, especially when you get really good players out there. So, like,
I think I would have said, can I high five you for saying no to that guy? And he would have been like, no,
no. Yeah, he would have doubled down on it. And it's funny because like, we're talking about, you know, being a kid and being out there. And a lot of those people, I think, have the kid mentality when you're out there. But the realization is, and by the way, there are guys that are like 70 years old that are out there and stuff like that. And on one hand, you get guys like Luis Gonzalez. I saw Gonzo out there. Gonzo signed for 4-year-olds to 70-year-olds. He talked with people, signed bats. He took pictures. He's the nicest guy. He literally just sits there and talks.
Where he came from. Right.
And then you just see guys like the Diamondbacks have had like Randy Johnson, who's simmered down a little bit. But man, just the cold blooded, these 45-year-old guys just being reduced to like 6-year-olds. Go clean your room by Zach Greinke was I'm telling you. The weirdest interaction I have seen Randy Johnson interact with people. I haven't really come across a whole bunch of like cold blooded people or anything like that. Like I've seen Clayton Kershaw. he'll sign for kids, but he's just like really nice and just like kind of talks to people and stuff like that. I've never seen someone do this weird, like, chin up, doesn't talk, doesn't acknowledge. Little kids are like, thank you. And he just doesn't look. It was, that guy is officially the, I mean, he's an amazing player. He is one of the weirdest people I've ever seen in my life. And, yeah, that was my day while you were with your, you know, your mom and packing.
Yeah, it was terrible. I much rather would have seen Zach Greinke just big time a bunch of autograph seekers. 100%. Like, I would actually enjoy that.
No,
like,
you know what?
I don't think I'd ever find myself in that situation because I'm not going to go back there to do that.
Well, no, but you could if you were back with me. If you were checking out the backfields, if you were doing video and you were watching it, you would see it happen.
Yeah.
Because that's where scouts are. Scouts are hanging out there. There's a bunch. I mean, there's some of the people that work for the organization. I mean, people are out there because BP and sessions are going on. There's people with the Diamondbacks that are doing video. So you would catch that stuff. You would see it, but you don't really go back there enough.
No, it's just not my thing. So, I would much rather have seen Zach Greinke one up people. But I mean, like, what does that guy say? Does he like...
Oh,
he's talk him as soon as he leaves, or what does he do?
Yeah, he did the last one. Like when
you
when,
believe this guy.
Yeah, when what happened was he got the first.
He
big
has
time.
That facial hair, and he's denying me.
He got pissy after Greinke came out to sign for the people, and then he didn't get it. Then he started mouthing a little bit. Highlight moment though was Mark Reynolds was playing for a game in the low A with the low A team. And he worked a count, and then he absolutely annihilated a ball. Mind you, Mark Reynolds is playing for the Rockies right now. Annihilates a ball, hits a homer, and Johnny Gomes, who coaches for the Diamondbacks, absolutely loses his S. He absolutely lost it because...
He just wants to see bombs.
Because he loves bombs, and he knows Mark Reynolds, you know, former Diamondback, and Johnny Gomes knows him. And Johnny Gomes, the coach for the Diamondbacks, and he was losing it laughing about Mark Reynolds hitting a homer off of his team. And they were talking after. It was really funny. So spring training, good time. All right, let's get into it. We don't have to be young at heart. We can be old and curmudgeon and tired, and that's probably what the rest of this episode will be. So lock in here. It's more In This League coming up. Bogman of the Welsh, we'll be back with you.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back. In This League, over at InThisLeague.com, you can check out all the stuff that we got going on, all of our episodes, 8 mock drafts that we've got up there, and you guys can get yourselves prepped for your draft weekend. Maybe it's this weekend, maybe it's next. If you're in that prep mode... Amazon 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. There is still time to get the paperback version. It's on Amazon, so they'll kick it over to you, I think, in a day or two. So you can get the paperback version of 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. You can get the Kindle version on Amazon, or you can get the searchable PDF at InThisLeague.com. There's still plenty of time, and I would even suggest it in season. We've even got something going on. You only got about a day to do this, where on the baseball episode, we have a special edition where we are going to autograph it and we're going to doodle in it and we are going to send it off to people and we're going to send that off. But it's like, it's not an auction because you don't get your money back. So you just have to throw money and whoever throws the most money gets this one of a kind edition.
Except like, I think the last bit was like $15.69.
Ooh, $15?
Little man. Little man. Put that S
in my hand. OEOEO
doesn't show you're gonna owe me OEO.
My jungle love.
You know,
OEO.
I had the TV on in the background and American Pie just popped up.
Okay. What part?
Right now it's at the part where Jim meets the Michelle Flaherty, the band geek.
Oh, not where he's with the pie?
No, no pie right now. So, but I was like, how old is Mina Savari? Because I saw her. She's 40.
Oh, my God.
Shannon Elizabeth is 45.
Oh, my God.
Tara Reid. Oh, my God. Oh, Tara Reid is 43.
This is the life we live right now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like there's a midlife crisis isn't quite, I think, what everybody makes it out to be. You know, there are people that obviously are like, oh, my God, I got to find some 20-year-old and I got to get a sports car. And there's those people. But midlife crisis, I think, is just a realization that you don't have. And I don't know what you do about it.
You're halfway done.
Well, yeah, they're halfway done. But I think you have those moments, what you just said. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we grew up with that movie. Do you remember in high school, I got confused twice for the pie effort. And that's embarrassing. When that movie came out, in a Best Buy, somebody walked up to me.
Are you thought, Jason Biggs?
They literally said that. They said, are you Jason Biggs? And I didn't know who that was. I'm like, who is that? They're like, the guy from American
Pie.
Well,
right after Superbad, I had my fro going on because I was pulling my hair out.
Jonah Hill.
I'm pretty sure. Like, no one asked me if I was Jonah Hill, but I had like, I remember specifically, I was walking in the grocery store and this car was going right next to me. So slow.
He's getting
ready.
I
look over and they are staring right at me. And I think when I looked and they could see my face, like, that's not him. That's not him. Let's go.
Keep going. Keep going. So, keep going.
Right.
But there's a constant battle. And like I said, I don't know what we do with that, but that those are the things, the realization that, oh my God, that we grew up with, those people are 40. Those people are 45 years old. I mean, they're making a brand new Jay and Silent Bob and Shannon Elizabeth is back in it.
Yeah.
But like, Bob is skinny
because he had and builds wells all day. Like that's what she's doing with her life now.
Yeah, her husband was a actor in that movie. He always appears in movies.
I thought they got divorced.
Oh, maybe they did. I don't know. I mean, that's definitely possible. But what I'm saying is, it's like look at we're getting a revamp of Kevin Smith's Jay and Silent Bob. But Kevin Smith looks like he had cancer. Like he's skinny because he had a heart attack. Like
right.
That's Bob. Bob doesn't look like Silent Bob in the movie. So we are put into points of having self-realization that sometimes are alarming. And sometimes what it does is it maybe puts people into being autograph seekers. Maybe it makes them being getting a fast car, or maybe it makes them trolls. You know what I mean? Maybe they become a troll, Bogman. Like, what's with fan interactions, by the way, right now? Complete 180.
What's the deal with that?
Well, no, we were just talking about Granky, and that was one of the weirdest interactions, but is there something in the air right now? What about the Westbrook thing? That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I said this on Takeaways, and there's way more to this, but I don't know. Do you think it's just the people in Utah? Because they booted another guy. So the Jazz have started to go back because they've heard that, they've been a problem.
Aren't they supposed to be nice?
What's that?
Aren't Mormons supposed to be nice?
I thought so.
I mean, I guess they're not all Mormons, but.
Right. I guess there's just some hateful people that live in Utah.
I think of Utah like Canada. I just expect everybody to be civil. But I guess if you ever watched SLC Punk, you would realize different.
Or Big Love?
I never watched. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not sure that's so much different than what it might be like.
But so anyway, the people in Russell Westbrook has had problems.
Anyway. Before,
but this guy said, no, he threatened my wife. I didn't say anything to him. I just said, ice up your knee and blah, blah, blah. And then a bunch of people said, yeah, no, he was saying really racist stuff to Westbrook. And then
he was saying racist stuff.
It was like,
I didn't know you were saying, I know you were saying horrible, like crap.
He said,
I didn't
get
realize.
Down on your knees like you used to. That's what he said to him. And Westbrook said, it was at best inappropriate. I think it was racial. And then you go on his Twitter and he has a tweet from, the playoffs last year that said Russell Westbrook should go back from where it came from. Hashtag MAGA. And then, He said, Russell Westbrook is a classless piece of S. Someone should kick his ass. Those were like his tweets. He immediately deletes his Twitter, but,
sure.
Twitter is forever.
Well, yeah, guys. So. Well, they know his name. I saw the guy's name the night of. The guy,
Shane Kiesel.
Does he have a job? Name. Does he still have? Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? Kiesel? Did he play for the Steelers?
Damn you.
That's what I thought. You're still dying.
I'm still dying.
Does that guy have a job? Because that's the type of stuff. This is why social media is so. I had this long talk with my wife about how toxic social media can be. And it's like, I mean, that guy is a piece of garbage. But like, at the same time, he legit probably could lose his job because of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, whatever company he works for isn't going to want to have a. It's bad PR if you have this racist working for you. And that's what people go to first when somebody makes a. You know, I don't know if the, I mean, this guy sounds like an a-hole, but there have been times where someone makes a mistake. I don't really like that going after the employer because.
Well, I'm not. I don't think I agree.
I know you're not advocating that, but that's what happens. That's like step two in this stuff now.
Well, no, there's no step two anymore. Step one is you lose everything. I mean, the guy was an idiot, and yeah. You also should be smarter. And but that's, I mean, it's all kind of entwined in the same thing. I don't understand the people that, I don't know, man. I don't want to get political, but like, I don't understand anybody who is so comfortable in just being super racist out in public.
What are you doing at a sports event if you're racist? Any sports event?
I don't know.
Like, you know, sports had, they've made tons of movies about how sports brings people of different creeds and races and whatever together.
Not in Utah.
Like, apparently not in Utah.
You know, can I ask you something? How did they maintain that? I always wondered that. They're like, Utah's like, we've banned him forever. You're like, well, the guy could like just walk in. Like, I've never, they don't, there's not like a board where they're like, oh, that's a picture. Right. That's the guy.
Well, I don't think he'll be banned forever. I think, like what you said, but I think like, if his name pops up, he won't be able to buy tickets. That kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, not every security guard is going to have a picture of Shane Kiesel. Yeah. You know, like, yep, hold on. It'd be like you're going through the line. They wand you, and then they look at the picture of him and you and him and you. You know, hopefully nobody looks like that guy.
They're not going to put a picture up of this guy.
Right. He's not America's most wanted. He's just a dick.
Yeah. I feel like it's just a statement. It's a team statement. Right. We've gone to the step of banning him.
I think the guy had season tickets, so they just stripped him of his tickets. He's done. Yeah. And they reviewed other film from another incident and booted another guy for good, like another season ticket holder. So he's gone, too. But Dallas was having this problem. Like, I remember doing takeaways and seeing there was some dude underneath the, the basket in Dallas. And he got, you know, he got reactions from players twice.
This is why I'm so distrustful of everything. Like, I talk about this all the time. I just don't. I'm awkward with people because I get very uncomfortable with how comfortable people get, and the lack of self-realization people have in conversation. We experience it to a minute degree where sometimes people can come out and say things that they just feel comfortable, like they know you, and it's just like, dude, you don't get to talk to me like that. Like, I don't. Who do you think you are? And right. This is in the most minute way that I experience it on a daily basis of people right. just not having the self-realization. It could be in a conversation that they just keep going. Yeah, it could be conversation. It could be interactions with people, and then get to the step of just being a psychopath and just screaming horrible things at people. Those people at like sporting events that are just dropping bombs everywhere, and there's like 6-year-old kids that are just all around. Yeah. Like, well, that's break, like,
I just assume when that stuff happens that is like, those people are super drunk. Or like in the stands, you see two guys with Diamondbacks jerseys on punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
It's like, we're on the same team, man.
Well,
what are you doing?
They probably should, though. That's the most enjoyment you're going to get at a Diamondbacks the game this year is probably punching the person next to you.
It's even like, you know, Dodger fans and Diamondback fans fighting in the stands. It's like, what do you do? We all like baseball. What are you doing here?
Can't we all just get along, Bogman?
It's not like baseball fans are fighting with book club people. You know, I just don't understand like why you would fight over that.
What was the Barkley thing you were telling me about? Because now I'm super intrigued by interactions athletes are having with fans.
Well, Barkley said the other day on YouTube, I see if I can send it to you. I don't think it's too long. That he beat up fans before. It was really weird because I think he said one of them was in the stadium, and I don't remember hearing about this at all. So,
all right, do you want me to play it?
Yeah, play it. Here's the link.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull it up here. Give me a second here. I'm pulling this. This is inside the
NBA.
Ernie
is trying to bail him out so hard. This is on TNT.
Oh, why? Because like he's pushing it.
Well, he sounds like an a-hole. He beat up fans, you know? Who does that?
Yeah. All right. This is going to take a second. Hold on. Of course.
It's like what? Ron Artest. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. That's the only guy I know of who beat up a fan.
Well, and that's so funny because when the Westbrook stuff came down, all right, let me pull this up here. When the Westbrook stuff came down, immediately everything popped up with a Ron Artest. And I was going back and watching the video, and you forget. When I was watching the video, I was like, oh my God, he did just jump in the stands and just start
beat the jumping
people.
Jesus out of that guy.
How much was $100?
No, okay. he beat the jumping Jesus.
All right, I'm gonna play this real quick. You might get a little feedback, Bogman, so just be careful about talking. So here we go. This is Barkley TNT.
I want to make it clear I was wrong. I have been arrested, I think, 4 times for hitting fans. I was wrong. How many? 4 times, I think. I was wrong.
No, 6.
I think it's either 6 or 4.
Whatever it is. I think the point are we arguing how many times you
it's
hit a
6.
Player.
I know
hey,
what it is.
Let me say,
it
never is. Convicted.
Because I settled. I can't trust the judicial system in America. You know, Ernie, I'm mature, more mature. I was wrong. At the time, I felt like I was right. And I know Russ, at the time, thought he was right. But there's no good ending. If I hit one of those people and hurt them badly, thank goodness I never hurt anybody. I felt like in the moment I was mad, but now that I'm older and mature, I was wrong.
Because those were off court. Those were not an arena.
Oh, no. That was a guy in Indiana sitting right behind the bench. We were losing by 35. And he kept talking to me. And I said, yo, man, you're about 35. You better leave me alone. He kept talking. I said, dude, you keep talking. I'm going to clock you. He kept talking. I clocked him. I was wrong.
That one somehow had escaped my memory.
That's why I said six. I appreciate you being admitting that you were wrong. Russell is...
All right, I'm gonna stop that there. So, actually, my favorite part about that, by the way, that's Barkley... on Inside the NBA with Ernie Johnson, Shaq just laughing the whole time. My favorite part is they continuously tried to like sandbag it a little bit and be like, oh, well, Barkley, you know, this happened. And he's like, well, no, I punched a guy in the place. He's like, well, no, I did get convicted. But I said, you know, like every time they tried to like settle it down a little bit, he's
that's
like,
that's what
nah.
Ernie was trying to give him a parachute.
Yeah.
He's trying to jump on that grenade and Barkley was just not letting him.
Nobody cares less about the world than Barkley. But Barkley, it's actually funny. Barkley and Greinke kind of have a similar demeanor where, like, you're not going to mess up Barkley's time, but he is bigger than life. Like, in Arizona, we've dealt with this for so long.
Yeah, but if you put a camera on Greinke, he would just stare into it soulless.
Well,
at least Barkley's funny.
Greinke's not, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Greinke's not someone that's going to attack you. He's just going to, I mean, he's just going to make you think about him later because he just tore a little piece in your soul, where Barkley will tear a piece off your ass. And the guy just doesn't care. He's infamous in Arizona. We've both had experiences with him. He's been fine. He gambles like you've never seen. There's a local casino out here. You know how many times I've seen him rocking, not even the rich people area. He'll just go rock over and hit up a $25 blackjack, and he's just sitting there. He gets down. Nothing affects him. While at the same time, though, with how much he interacts with fans, if you go pure percentages, I would say it's still very little. I'd say very little craziness he's had, even though he's probably knocked out a couple people. He is very, very interactive, where you get so many players that want to shy away from it. Guys like Greinke. I don't know. I'm not sure Russell Westbrook is that guy that wants to shy away from it. I think there's a lot of NBA athletes that aren't big into
interaction. He's just not going to put up with your stuff. Like, Westbrook isn't going to have any mocking of him from the stands, from whoever. It's just not, he will not put up with it. And that's, he's got to have thicker skin than that. I mean, look, the racist guy is an a-hole and he deserved everything he got, right?
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
Russell Westbrook needs to have thicker skin. He needs to be able to ignore those guys.
Well,
and
but the only problem is
it's
he does
night after night.
He
too.
Doesn't if. What he felt was racist. If it was like there's a line, like if you got some guy that's like, you know, Odell, what'd you do, man? Like that, like you need to have thick skin for that stuff. Like, oh, brick, that type of stuff. But if someone is attacking you, where I don't blame athletes, where if someone talks about their mother or if somebody, I mean, you know, it doesn't, we're not going to be hit with racist comments. You know, that's not something right. that we can have an even understanding of. But
right.
I say, if somebody drops something like that, like, I can see why these guys stand up. I don't blame Russ in any of this stuff. There's something in the air about interaction.
I'm not blaming him. I just think that he's heard it so many times. I just, if I'm him, I don't want to get to the point where I'm on video saying I'll F you and your wife up. Like,
yeah, that was the point
that he got to.
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't want to get there. So I got to walk to the other end of the bench. I got to go get a security guard. I got to go do something else. And maybe he tried to do those things. I don't know his side of the story.
They probably do need to be like, yo, you need to get those people out of here or there's going to be a problem. Right. Like, go to that. Right. It's just, I don't know. Interesting stuff across the board. Speaking of all of the interesting, we're kind of going through sports here, baseball to basketball. We're going to talk fantasy. We're going to be talking about football moves. That's going to be coming up. Talk about some fantasy baseball, but actual baseball made some moves to the game. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. So don't go anywhere. More In This League with Bogman and the Welsh coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. Bogman and the Welsh, the In This League crew, In This League Live right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What do you mean when you say In This League crew?
What do you mean, you people? Have you ever had a bad... What's your worst interaction you've had with an athlete?
With an athlete?
Yeah.
Well, Barry Bonds told me to get the F off his lawn.
Tell the story. Well, I forgot about the Barry Bonds one.
Did you forget about that?
Well, I forgot about the Barry Bonds one because you also have a Warren Moon one. Tell both of those. Start with Barry Bonds.
Well, I don't remember the Warren Moon one, but my mother has described it to me many times. So the Barry Bonds one was, he was running a house. You know, he used to play for the Giants, and the Giants have spring training in Scottsdale. And my buddy lived down the street from the house he rented for the summer.
Wasn't this the same one? Because there's this community that I had a high school friend lived in. It's a gated community. And was it Willie Mays? Willie Mays lives there.
No, I know exactly the one you're talking about, but that wasn't the same.
Oh, okay. Because Willie Mays lives in North Scottsdale in the same community. And I know Bonds has been there before, but this wasn't Willie Mays. This was just another random house.
Right. So my buddy went over there because he used to dog sit for his neighbors when they would go on vacation or whatever. He'd go over and feed the dogs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so he asked if he could go over and meet Barry Bonds. And they said, well, let's talk to him, blah, 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 blah. And so he got Barry Bonds' autograph and said he was extremely nice and blah, blah, blah. So I'm waiting for him to get ready one day before school. I used to pick him up before school. And I see Barry Bonds out in his yard. You know, and I said, and I walked up and I said, hey, I just wanted to say hi, I'm Nate's friend. And he's like, get the F out of here. I can't remember specifically what he said.
Really?
I just remember being so shocked. I was like, okay. And I walked away. Like, now I kind of, I'm not as hateful as I was towards Barry. Like, first of all, he was like a division rival and all the steroids and all that stuff.
I was about to say, steroids probably had him a little bit hyped up, a little bit angry. I think anger comes with steroids, so.
So I kind of get it now. Like, he doesn't want people bothering him at the place he's living at. Like, I kind of understand, but I'm like 16 years old, pimply face loser. You know, I pose no threat to him at all. He was just being a psycho.
Always
just having a bad day.
Well, dude, always been my thing. Always been my thing. It's just, you know, just be like a human. Just be like, okay, thanks, bye. You know, just like you don't tell, especially a kid. You don't tell a kid to go, F off. So I remember, right. I remember that one, but tell the Warren Moon one.
So the Warren Moon one, from what I understand, and I was 4 or 5, and excuse me, I had gone out to California. You know, my mom was like, I got to get rid of this kid for a week. So she sent me out to California to visit my grandma, and I was flying back on the plane from California to Houston. And he was on the plane. He was going from LA to Houston. And I don't know if I sat next to him on the plane or what happened, but after, like, they saw Warren Moon get off the plane when they're waiting for me. And then I come off the plane and they say, go get Warren Moon's autograph, or go say hi, we'll take a picture, something. And I went up to him, and I guess I was tugging at his pants, going, Mr. Moon, Mr. Moon. And he just would not acknowledge my existence.
Oh, no. So I thought he said something about you on the plane.
I have no idea. So okay. if my mom told me that thing, I don't know. So but that's what I remember my mom telling me. And like I said, I have no memory of that at all. So my mom hated Warren Moon after that because he was a dick to me.
I like it. I like it. No, but you've never had a bad interaction in a place.
In a place.
In an arena or something. No, like in an actual sporting.
Oh, I don't think I've ever sat that close. So
yeah,
not really.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a bad interaction with anybody. And I'll go on and like interview guys and stuff. Never really had, never one that stand outside of like you and I experienced Justin Upton, who was just couldn't have been. I mean, he couldn't have hated the space that he was in more. And
to be honest, that thing is kind of what pushed me over the, all right, you know, I tried the autograph thing. Because you were into it, and you're like, oh, let's go to
the Fan Fest.
It's going to be fun and blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
we met Chris Young. Early. He was great. And Augie Ojeda. Remember Augie?
Yeah, I remember Augie Ojeda. But when Augie Ojeda is the guy you're getting excited about, I mean, come on. You know, what are we doing here?
Oh, I get so excited about Mark Reynolds. We're talking to Mark and stuff like that. But Mark Upton,
Reynolds, we were talking to Mark Reynolds. We talked to him for 5 seconds, and then we moved on to the other loser.
Yeah, I know. Him and Chip Hale, they were going crazy about the bat that I had.
Yeah, remember we were like, "Hey, Chip, when are you going to be manager?" And he's like, "Oh, LOL, double gun point." And then he was.
Yeah, then he was, and then double gun point. You're gone. Right. That's how it was. All right. So enough of that. It's just fun, weird interactions. Just
have
talking.
You heckled anybody?
You know I've heckled. I've been with you when I've heckled.
Who did? Well, besides Will Myers.
I've heckled Will Myers. I heckled Mike Napoli, and I heckled him about Rachel Starr. Remember?
Because, Rachel Starr.
Yeah,
Mike Napoli
is buddies with film actress Rachel Starr, and every time I saw Mike Napoli, I would scream at him about Rachel Starr.
Rachel Starr.
I heckle funny type of things. Maybe not so much to Will Myers.
When I was sitting down in the bleachers, we heckled Gary Sheffield pretty hard. Didn't he
give you a finger?
Yeah. So like someone was like he had tobacco juice leaking in his pants or something. And someone was like, did you just ass yourself, Gary? And then he did the thing where he scratches the back of his head, but it's only with his middle finger.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big heckler, but if there's like something funny or we have a bit, you know me, I like to scream at obscure players to get their attention when they freak out. Like Jorge Onya, like from a year ago with the, he started a random game for the Padres. It was like a year or two ago and you and I went
started
to it.
Started doing hip, hip, Jorge.
Yeah, him. Hip, hip, Jorge. And I was just screaming for him. We always did it to Solarte. Like we pick Solarte to yell at. Like we'll pick obscure players to get their attention.
My buddy had a funny one. I think he said he was like 10 or something, and he was at a Giants and Rockies spring training game. And these frat guys were sitting right up close to the batter's box, and they were by the on deck circle. And Dante Bichette, every time he would come up, they were calling him a big fat ass and all this stuff.
I bet he loved that.
Oh, he said the last time he came up, he grabbed just a fistful of grass. And turn around to them and start chewing on it like a cow. He was just like staring them down and chewing on the grass.
That's pretty hilarious. Funny. That's really, really funny. That's really funny. Well, hopefully that's something that doesn't get taken away from baseball. Hopefully the fan interactions and the players, they can less Zach Greinke's, more Joey Votto's, have fun, mess with people, but make sure it's a game and have fun. Ultimately, it's a big thing that we're always battling with, and MLB is trying to tackle that right now, where they just introduced a slew of new rules. Some fine. I think there's one particular that's really great. And then I think there's some others that are questionable. Now, it's a two-phase process because there are some that take place this year, and then there's some that take place in 2020. And
which is next year. Which it sounds like it's so far down, but that's
2020.
That's next year.
It literally is like where the car, like I think of Blade Runner when I say 2020. I think of buildings and robots, sentient robots that are walking around. I'm trying to figure out who's a robot and who's a human. Like that's 2020 to me. Guess what? It's not. We don't even have driverless cars.
We don't even have hooker robots yet.
No, they got silicon.
I mean, there's stuff.
Yeah.
I know about the stuff, but we don't have hooker robots yet.
Well, there's still massage parlors in Jupiter.
You get caught in those.
Yeah, that's true. But there's no advancement. Again, don't know how to process it. You're telling me you have a 70-year-old mom. I can't process that because I'm still in my brain a 20-year-old. And it's 2020 that's coming up, and we don't have cars that are flying. We don't have any of that stuff. I still have a phone that only has 3 hours of battery in it. How is that possible in 2020? How does my phone only stay charged for 3 hours? All right. The rule changes, Bogman. Sorry. The rule changes. The 2019 rule changes. Here's the first one. And actually, now that I'm thinking of it, there's two that I like here. But one of them, I don't know if it's 2019 or 20. The one change that I really, really like is that they've simplified the trade deadline and there's now not the mysterious secondary trade. It was always so annoying because it's trade deadline. And then the day the trade deadline ends, well, there's still the waiver trade deadline where all teams can be put through waivers. MLB, they've cut that. There's now one true king. There's one trade deadline, July 31st. That's it. And I love it. I think that's going to create so much more parity in the trade market because people can't get away with bull crap for the next month. So I love that. And I think the trade deadline is going to be explosive this coming year. And that's
effective
this year. There's
no way that you like that more than me. And do you know why?
No.
Because of our AL and only leagues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we don't have to deal with the players just mysteriously disappearing.
You mean me. Well, I don't know.
Royal we.
Yeah, the royal we. It's the worst ever. I hate it so much. So, yeah, I'm glad that that's gone.
But it's great. But, okay, outside of like, you know, personal affect you reasons, It was one of the dumbest things in sports, having a trade deadline and then trying to explain to people, well, there's a secondary one, but the teams have to pass through waivers and they can get claimed. If the team claims them, they can do a trade for 48 hours or they can pull wrap your head around it. Guess what? Simplify the damn game. Make baseball easier to comprehend. It was the
icing. Are
you saying
make baseball great again?
Make it great again, Bogman. That's what I'm saying. Make baseball great again. And I think MABA. That does that. I love that move. I'm a huge, it's a 10 out of 10 for me. You, same thing?
Yeah, I like that one. And I think it's going to boost trades at the trade deadline. Now that there's only one and you can't negotiate with anything, it's just going to be a fervor. It's going to be the wild, wild west. Yeah. I'm really glad.
Yeah, because people can't get away with trying to, you know, block other teams. They said you're going to have to commit earlier on. So there's going to be a lot more movement. Number two, as far as the ones that are awesome, I love, love, love that they did this. And this is going to push them a step further into being the best All-Star Weekend. They've now put a $1 million bounty on the winner for the Home Run Derby. Everyone's going to want to play in that now. Joey Gallo says he wants to play in it. Of course you do, because there's $1 million. Everyone's going to want to play in it. We're not going to have losers trying to play in it. Who was the guy that had no homers a couple years ago? Who was that?
Somebody have zero?
Someone had no homers in it. They always have these hometown ones or these idiots. They pick their buddy that's in town. You know, you're going to have players. They're going to have like a list that are going to register.
I remember Robbie Cano had like one, but it was the year after he won it. People were pissed. He didn't take, he didn't pick Country Breakfast because the All-Star game was in Kansas City.
Who was the idiot that Prince Fielder picked over Upton?
Ricky Weeks.
Ricky Weeks. Give me a break.
And Ricky Weeks hit like three. I don't even think he advanced.
Love it because what it's going to do is it's going to create that like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire vibe or The Wall, you know, any of those game shows. Like we're going to watch a millionaire win another $1 million, which is embarrassing. But still, there's so much money on the line. the intensity is going to be ramped up. These guys were always into it, which is nice about the Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby is the only skills-based competition that I shouldn't say it's the only tolerable one. It's number one. It's over the three-point contest. It's over the dunk contest. This is what the dunk contest should do. They should have $1 million on
the NFL doesn't have anything that competes with any of that.
No, not even close. I mean, the NFL should.
Isn't that crazy? Like how much more popular the NFL is than everything, but it can't get together a decent contest at the end of the year.
I don't even know what that would be for them.
I think they should make like all kickers that missed games to either knock their team out of the playoffs or something. They should have a kickoff.
They should do something. I just don't know. But NBA immediately has to install $1 million for the dunk contest, right?
Yeah, do something. Yeah,
immediately. So,
did you hear what Adam Silver said about that? He said he wanted to do cut some games off the schedule and make a midseason tournament.
For what would it do?
It would replace all of the All-Star game stuff.
But what's the point of the tournament?
Well, the tournament is just like it replaces regular season games. Everyone would play the same amount of games.
No, no, I get all that. But
it's like a mini playoffs in the middle of the season.
But like, what's the winner get?
The winner gets a better record.
That's stupid.
It's not stupid. Let me ask you something. Would you rather watch some great games in the middle of the season with your record is on the line? Or would you rather watch the 3-point contest?
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that, what you're getting at. But a midseason tournament for nothing makes no sense. No, who's going to care? It's going to just be regular season games.
Maybe they add something to it. Maybe if you win the tournament, you get at least the number 3 seed. Something like that.
See, now that would be interesting if they put like a playoff spot on the line.
Yeah, like you at least get a 4 seed, so you get home field advantage or home court advantage in that first series.
Something like that. I mean, I'm all for these type of movements. These make the game better without altering, like, you know, where they're like, oh, our quarterbacks can't be touched now. And it's like, let's play 18 games. And like, no, let's allow the game to still be the game. What were the moves that haven't taken place yet? What are the MLB rule changes that haven't taken place?
There are a couple ones that did take place. The inning breaks are shortened by 5 seconds for local games, 25 seconds for nationals to try to keep it to 2 minutes between innings.
Speed it up a little bit.
One fewer mound visit per game, that's going into effect. Mm. But the ones that are going in next year is the active roster will go from 25 to 26.
That's
with
interesting.
With a yet undecided cap on the number of pitchers that each team can carry. And then they're going to change the minimum injured list and option list for pitchers from 10 days to 15. So if you put it, you can't have, we saw the Dodgers have a lot of DL manipulating last year. So yeah. If you put a guy in the DL, he's going to miss 2 starts.
One of the most interesting ones, though, is the implications, what it's going to do for prospects, where September, they've essentially killed the September call-ups because now there will not be 40 players on a roster. The roster goes from 26 to 28 players. And we kind of saw this because they moved the Arizona Fall League up. It usually started in mid-October. It's now starting like September 17th while the season's going on. So all these prospects that were going to get their time coming up to the majors who wouldn't have gone to the Fall League because of it now are not going to be on the roster. They're only expanding the roster by 2 spots. And that's what I think is interesting about that, Boggs, is it's going to press teams to play their stars more and not have that out if they're going to make the playoffs to play a bunch of losers in their lineup.
And we didn't even talk about the biggest one. It's the pitchers must face a minimum of 3 batters or reach the end of the half inning. That's the one that is pissing everybody off. I don't have a problem with it yet. I'm glad they're doing it to see if it works or not. Maybe it won't work at all. I don't know. But at least they're trying stuff. You know, it's been so much, we won't change anything ever in baseball. Well, and now they're actually trying things.
Let's do this, though. I know we got a lot to talk about. I want to talk football. When we come back in the next segment, we'll at least start the segment. Let's talk about the thing that everybody's writing about that baseball is going to have to deal with. Because if there's something baseball is good at, it's finding a way around a rule. And people have already pinpointed how baseball is going to get around that rule, and it seems like it's going to happen. So let's talk about that. We've got football, free agency, we've got more baseball, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League. We'll be back.